This is the Journeyman Podcast with Steve Brennan and Brian McCabe. Episode 15, Trip to the Holodeck. Hey everybody, you're listening to the Journeyman Podcast. I'm Steve Brennan.
This is Brian McCabe.
And we are the Journeymen, and we are here live in studio thanks to Tony LaMarco. What's up, Tony?
Not much. How you doing?
Good. Dude, you came through, dude. I can't believe it.
I did come through.
It's not that I was worried that you wouldn't be able to come through, because, like, you come through. You're like a, you know.
Yeah, well, you kind of threw me under the bus on that last podcast,
I know.
So I had to.
Well, you know, I've learned that, you know, if you're not, like, aggressive and really, really annoying, then people just ignore you.
Yeah, basically.
And also, yeah. Steve does that to everybody. So
right. If Brian gets a weekly dose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
of my annoyances.
I'm wondering which demographic of our audience you're going to release to no longer have to listen to us anymore.
We're running out of people. We're running out of people. At the end of the podcast, we're going to have to start thanking, like, both of our fans and stuff like that.
That's cool, though.
Well, it's episode 15.
Anything special about number 15?
No, it's again 14 and 15. Those are like two boring numbers. The only thing I could think of is when I was 15, I got my first job.
What were you doing?
I worked in a little farm market. I had to go to the guidance counselor and have them fill out a work permit. Did you guys ever have to do that?
I did, but I was working before I had to do that.
Oh.
Just under the table kind of stuff.
Yeah.
All of my early jobs were under the table as well.
Oh, that is true. Well, I had to go. I was all legit. And at 15 and a half, you could go and apply for a work permit. And your guidance counselor has to sign it. And somehow,
yeah, when I got
somehow
a real
with
job.
My grades, they were like, okay, go ahead and do it. I don't know. What Tony has set up for us, I wish y'all could see it. It's just so ridiculously excessive. We are here in an actual recording studio with professional equipment, and the mics are better, and the soundboard is actually a soundboard. That's awesome.
And I'm just we're multi-tracking.
Oh, we are?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good, because I don't know what Brian's got going on in his, like, lungs, but, like, for like 4 weeks in a row, I'm spending hours editing coughs out of the final broadcast in post.
Unbelievable.
Dude, did you go to the doctor?
I did finally go to the doctor.
What'd you have, like tuberculosis?
I had bronchitis.
Oh, nice.
Alone.
All right, dude.
I'm getting better, though.
All right, well, that's good. So maybe this week will be an easier edit. I have no idea what, Tony, what you're going to, like, provide to me, but I'm looking forward to
it. Go have some fun.
All right. Well, we are, we're in studio. We're here to talk a lot about technology today. And like how it affects our lives. I mean, technology, for whatever reason, it's totally a guy thing. So I thought it was kind of fitting. And it turns out that it has a lot to do with what goes on, on a Sunday morning at a lot of our churches too. So we'll get into that in just a little bit.
So what does Tony have to do with technology? Why don't you set him up to shine, Steve? You're supposed to do some kind of awesome intro for our guests.
No, I just thought that we were going to teach Tony about technology.
I'm always learning.
Oh, okay. Well, before we get into that, like, did you bring any news items here, Bri? Like, anything at all?
No, because we're talking about technology today.
Dude,
so I was ready to roll
with
this.
There's no technology in the news?
Okay, let me think. There's controversy running amok on my blog.
Oh, dude, I love it.
I posted something. I hadn't been getting many comments for a while, so I intentionally posted something controversial up there, and it's getting some play.
You need to start doing that here so that we get more listeners.
That's a good point, Steve.
Dude, I stumbled across your blog yesterday. I was doing a little research for today's show. I figured, let's go see what Brian's talking about. And you posted an article about you posted your thoughts based on some stuff you learned in class about creation and science.
Mm-hmm.
And how the two mix and perhaps sometimes don't mix. That's controversial, too.
It definitely is. I knew it was semi-controversial. I didn't realize, and several people I've talked to are really strongly opinionated against what I wrote, and that's all right. So you have to go check it out at BK McCabe. www.blogspot.com, and it's under the posting, which was, I guess, a couple days ago.
Right.
Creation and science.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty awesome, dude. I'm kind of happy about that. Because yeah, I'm usually the guy getting the heat, so
yeah,
that's good. Well, let's give everybody an opportunity to check it out, and I definitely want to circle back on that because okay. That's hardcore, and Jason's all excited about it too. So I figured I want to hear his take on it as well.
All right, sounds like a show topic that will get lots of listeners.
Dude, I'm trying to. I pulled some news stuff, and now I'm like,
I've got something from the news. I mean, it has nothing to do with technology.
That's
but
okay.
I just found it interesting. It was an article that someone actually posted on Facebook from, I believe it was Sports Illustrated, but it was about the whole controversy with Roethlisberger, and not trying to judge him before he goes through through trial or is or anything like that, but he's at least guilty of serial poor judgment.
Oh, dude, no doubt.
I mean, putting yourself in that kind of situation, you're bound to get in trouble, whether you did anything or not.
Right. Whether he broke the law or not, this is now three times that he's put his career in jeopardy by his own bad judgment, right? Because he's had two incidents, alleged incidents with women, and then the motorcycle thing.
Right.
So, dude,
three times in 5 years? I mean, that's a little ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of the same deal with, like, you know, that you hear every once in a while. You heard it with, like, Michael Vick. And, you know, it's just like, dude, you're just being stupid. Like, you're making stupid decisions. Whether you think it's right to do the whole dogfighting thing or whether you actually broke the law, dude, you're putting yourself in these situations that it's just ridiculous. So
it's a basic concept that goes way back even to middle school when your parents are giving you a hard time about the friends you hang out with and the situations you put yourself in. And one of the differences is a lot of these professional athletes become multimillionaires at a really young age when, I mean, I'm not trying to say that it's okay, but their brains aren't even really fully developed yet. And that is not saying it's okay. I'm just making the point that the judgment may not be there because they're still young and have lots of money.
I know, but man, how old is he now?
28.
I mean, when do we stop saying that he's young?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give you that much.
I mean, it was kind of funny. Everyone talked about how mature he was his rookie year.
Right.
And how godly he was, even, like, writing the whole Jesus thing on his shoes and
really?
and standing.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, that was 4 or 5 years ago.
Right.
And then he goes and wins one Super Bowl and then went downhill from there.
Right.
Fame got to him. I mean, you don't hear anything about how, quote, unquote, mature he is anymore.
Right.
It's
totally.
Just all the mistakes or bad situations that he puts himself in.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out, and the lawyers will do stuff, and maybe money will trade hands. Who knows?
I'd like to thank you guys, though, for getting rid of our Steeler audience demographic.
Right. That's my job.
Way to go. And also probably bringing in the female college student audience. So good
job,
guys.
No problem. No problem.
Anything else you want to do to our show while you're here, Tony?
We could bring in the SeaWorld audience by talking about that whale that killed that girl. Dude, what the heck?
That is so sad, man.
I didn't even hear about that one.
You didn't hear about that?
No.
The trainer, I don't know. The trainer was doing some stuff, and it was a female trainer. She had a ponytail, and they think that the whale mistook the ponytail for some sort of a toy, and it pulled her underwater, and she was killed.
Wow.
And so, you know, it's kind of a big deal. But what's interesting to me is what the big deal is this week regarding that incident is they're... The family is trying to make it so that the video, there's video of this. The family's trying to have some sort of, you know, I don't know what, something put in, judgment put in to prevent the video from being released.
Is that even possible to do anymore?
I don't know.
With the bobsled, what was the Olympic thing?
Luge.
So national television put that out there one time, and we talked about that a little bit, but then... Now it's all over YouTube, and there's all these different copies of it. How can you possibly control what gets out there now?
And I don't even understand why people want to see it, but we do. Like the luge. I saw the luge accident. I knew that they were about
to
show
it. I wanted to watch it again. I don't know what it was. I just...
Yeah, it's bizarre. I mean, it's a bizarre occurrence, and you're just like, dude, that's crazy. I want to see that. I don't know why that is. Like, what's up?
So is this an example?
Did you learn something in class to tell me why that happens, Bri?
No, I want to. That's why I want to hear why you guys talk about why technology has this cultural influence that's like that, where people. Oh, that was. I should say it goes back a little bit. I can remember growing up, they had those videos that were out, the Faces of Death video.
That's right.
I clearly remember when those came out. I never watched them, but I had friends who would go to the video store and rent them.
Yeah,
and I would
me
think,
too.
Why would you want to do that? Hey, let's just curl up with the video on Friday night and watch Faces of Death.
I don't know. It's the voyeur in us, I think. I don't know. Like, maybe it's the whatever gene makes us want to see that is the same gene that makes us want to watch horror movies or watch car crashes on TV. You know, who knows?
Yeah, like, why do people watch NASCAR? It's for the wrecks, right?
Right. Well, they do. I mean, some people don't. I get that. But yeah, I mean, dude, I mean, I could totally picture in my mind the Dale Earnhardt crash. I saw it over and over and over, right? I could replay the whole thing in my head. And it's something that's just kind of crazy. It makes you, it draws you in, you know? Is that why we watch boxing matches? I don't know.
I'm just happy Tony just gave me the first person who ever gave me a reason for why people are actually attracted to NASCAR. Because honestly, I don't understand it. When they're going in a circle,
I know.
And there they go in the circle again and again in the circle. 500 times they're in the circle. And then everybody crashes and there's a caution in the last lap and the lucky person wins.
Yeah. I don't
know. And there goes part of our demographic.
No, I think we lost them a long time ago. I don't know
if you ever had that demographic.
No. I don't think these guys are plugging their iPods into. Okay. We've gone too far. Well, to kind of turn the corner, the last news item I have has to do with technology. So I figure we can start to tie it into our actual topic.
Okay.
But there's a study at, this is according to Huffington Post, but there was a study at Stanford that they surveyed 200 iPhone users, and half of them expressed some degree of addiction to their phone. What do you guys think of that?
I could agree with that.
Yeah, me too.
What? Expand on the addiction term. Like, what does that mean?
I think they're using the term addiction loosely.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the general term of addiction, I wouldn't say I'm addicted to my iPhone.
No.
But I wouldn't buy a different phone. I mean, I'm waiting for the next generation iPhone to come out so I can replace mine that has the nasty cracked screen. I mean, I'm not going to go buy a different phone because how much I like it.
Get a Droid.
My brother has a Droid. I played around with it. I don't like it. It's not as good.
Unbelievable.
Well, without regard to that, it's interesting how we have taken a device and integrated it so thoroughly into our lives.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we just updated our lighting console to a new version where I can actually control it with my iPhone now.
Yeah. I mean, it's a computer. It's a full-blown computer.
Wow.
85% say they use it as a watch or an alarm clock. Do you do that? You guys do that?
I absolutely do that.
Me too.
I still have to use my watch and an alarm clock.
Really?
That's the reason I'm not a tech nerd like you guys. See,
my phone, I set 4 alarms on it in the morning because it takes that many times for me to wake up. But
See, I can get up in one ring. But so you use like a regular clock?
I tried to go all.
Do you have to like wind it?
Stuff and just I was all out of sorts. Yes, I do, as a matter of fact.
Really?
I was all out of sorts when I tried to make the shift. Yeah, I could not handle it. I had to go back.
Nice.
So this addiction you're talking about then, is this the guy who every 8 seconds is reaching in his pocket, flipping the phone open and like, do whatever, not even making a phone call, and then just zipping it back in?
Yeah, I think the task at hand, whatever it is, somehow they can integrate their phone into it.
Going through your whole life with your head down looking at a little object.
Yeah.
There's been times I've had my laptop open and like I was working on the stage or something like that and we had to find something. So I pulled out my iPhone and started looking online on my iPhone.
Yeah.
10 minutes later, I'm like, what am I doing? I've got a bigger screen and a keyboard right next to me and I'm using my iPhone.
How about this? 75% say they sleep with their phone.
What does that mean to sleep with your phone?
Like on the windowsill or in the bed?
75%, I'm reading this now from the article, actually confessed to sleeping with their iPhone in bed next to them.
That's ridiculous.
Wow. That's a problem.
That is addiction right there.
My precious.
I've done this.
You've done this?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I got a problem, dude.
I have fallen asleep while using it, so I don't know if that counts or not. But
yeah.
I don't like purposely lay it on my pillow right next to me.
You fell asleep while you were using it? That's like the person in high school who falls asleep smoking a cigarette or something.
Not while using it, but I'll use it and then I'll put it down the pillow next to me in case I wake up in the middle of the night and I want to use it again.
Dude, Tony clearly said
I fell asleep using it. Dozing off. I mean, I didn't like fall asleep mid typing something, but dozing off reading something, and you just fall asleep.
I listen to radio stations.
You listen to radio stations on your iPhone?
Oh, absolutely.
It's in bed with you. And that's your...
Well, it's better than the radio. Because I can listen to, like, radio stations in LA and stuff.
You guys realize how far into this you really are?
Look, all I'm saying is you do the same thing with a variety of other devices. We just do it with the one. You have your alarm clock. You have your radio. You know, those are next to you in bed.
Fall asleep watching TV or fall asleep watching YouTube.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
Dude, as soon as they get Hulu on the iPhone, that's
it. Oh, that'd be incredible.
I can't wait. What?
It's like you're speaking Chinese. I have Hulu. Heard of Hulu.
This is great. I think I need... Brian, you've served this podcast well for 15 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to get you out of here.
I'd like to just mention that I represent normal human beings who have...
I think that's a relative term.
Gone off the deep end.
In this room? I think that you're in the minority.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm kind of split between you two. I mean, I'm not all tech geek, although a lot of my knowledge does surround the geekiness realm.
Did you go to school for a geeky major?
I did not. I went to school for student ministry.
Geneva, right?
At Geneva, yes.
Student ministry.
Yep. It took me about a decade to graduate.
Nice.
That's good. That's good.
Well, I got married in there, had some kids. Yeah. So there was a few years where I wasn't taking any classes, and then finally I decided, hey, it's time.
So now you're doing, what is your official title right now?
I think it's senior media director.
All right.
So basically, I do a lot of training. I train our volunteers. I work at Northway Christian Community. I spend most of my time at our first campus, which is in Wexford, training volunteers on how to use the equipment that we use to make our services run. And then I also do like stage set designs and research new technologies, stuff like that.
So you had a degree in ministry, and now you're doing media stuff at a pretty large church.
Yeah.
So how did you get from point A to point B?
It was just kind of a natural progression for me. I mean, when I interned while I was in high school at this church. It's actually the church that I grew up in. I've been here since first grade.
Right.
So, I mean, I've known the church. But I interned with a middle school, and most of my duties there were the tech duties. Like, I created videos for our retreats that we took. I gave a couple lessons every once in a while, but mainly I was making sure that everything was up and running for the youth group. I did some of the program stuff, like the games and stuff we do with the middle schoolers, but making sure the sound system was up and running, making sure video was working, did some filming with them, and then I got to teach from time to time, but it's mostly the tech stuff.
So how'd you become a nerd?
I'm a gadget guy. So yeah. I mean,
what happened to you, Brian?
Brian's just not a gadget guy.
What happened to you?
I just want to say that I have other skills that are cool, too, that you guys maybe just don't even know about.
Right.
Like cake baking skills.
Does anybody know about these skills?
Or nunchuck skills.
You're like 33 years old, you know. At some point, maybe you should start flexing those muscles.
They're going to come out eventually. Nice. But I will say on Tony's, I'm going to defend him, actually, because he made a bold statement earlier, which says, he can handle the tech geek stuff,
right?
But that's not what makes him, you know. And Tony's not socially awkward, so he can actually
What are you saying about Steve?
What does that mean?
I'm going to talk about this. All right, let me finish my thought before you just unload.
I just
on
got
me.
A little defensive.
I know. I didn't even say you were socially awkward.
All right,
I said,
go ahead. Finish your thought.
Steve's got some issues. So we'll focus all on right. that in a minute. What I was saying is then he can step into the geek world of technology and thrive, but also work with volunteers and work with other human beings and communicate with them, spend right. time with them without being introverted, if you will. And I'm not saying that that was you, Steve.
So when was the last time you communicated with, let's use Tony. When's the last time you communicated with Tony?
We don't communicate all that much. Every once in a while we bump into each other.
Yeah, it's like a passing in the lobby kind of
thing. Right. Maybe the last 5 times I communicated with Tony, it was via my phone in some way.
Yeah.
It was a phone call to my iPhone. It was text messages. It was a Twitter, the direct Twitter message that came across my phone.
Yeah, and every once in a while, Facebook.
Right.
Tony, help me out here. I'm trying to bail you out. Dude, I'm not to pigeonhole you, but you're not helping me here.
I'm going to argue that I am a better communicator now since I got my, since technology came.
So he's not as introverted as he was growing up with you.
So I want to say then that I believe that technology does not allow us to go deeper in our relationships. We can have more superficial relationships with people because of technology. So we think that we can keep all these relationships going with 200 people, and yet we cannot have a face-to-face look you in the eye conversation with one person for longer than 8 seconds without looking at our phone.
Yeah, I think if it's a person that you don't see on a regular basis, like I see Steve on a regular basis, so technology has helped our relationship go deeper. But the kind of like if you were to start a relationship, a friendship with someone just online and you never see them face to face, yeah, it's probably going to be pretty superficial. It's going to be a surface level relationship.
I do agree with that.
Okay, that's you all
can't,
I was saying.
You can't form a relationship strictly electronically.
Now, that is unless you're starting to use holographs, but we'll get into that later.
I can't wait to hear about this. I only know vaguely where you're going with that. I'm kind of curious.
Before we go there, Tony, I think we need to psychoanalyze Steve.
Okay.
All right. I don't think we asked. I didn't ask for
this. You opened up the door to it. So is social media helping you to open up more relationally with people?
Yes.
It's giving you more confidence to do that.
Without a doubt, it opens up the doors to communication with people that otherwise I would not have any type of relationship with.
Okay. Do you have any questions for Steve?
Look at your, like you have Facebook, look at your Facebook list of, you know, quote unquote friends, right?
Yeah.
You are communicating with people that maybe 3/4 of them you would never talk to again if Facebook didn't come around. And now it like opens up.
I would definitely agree with that. Like a lot of the high school friends and stuff like that. Some of my Facebook friends from high school, we definitely weren't friends in high school, but we've grown up now more mature. It's not petty little crap like it was in high school.
Yeah.
Okay. I have
Facebook friends I've never met. They just showed up in my list and I'm like, okay, I'll be your friend.
And those are those surface level relationships.
Right.
I mean, I have some like that, just that I found through Twitter. Some of the guys that are in the same kind of profession that I'm in, I follow them on Twitter, became their Facebook friends, just learning from them the kind of stuff that they do. And that can happen even not in a technology career. Like if you were to find someone that does the same kind of city ministry that you do online, you can learn from them just by developing that surface level relationship.
Okay. Huh.
I'll give you that. But okay, before you guys fully immerse yourself in your nerdydom,
all right.
I just want to say one more thing then. With the social media, you're projecting an image of yourself as a male to other people. It doesn't have to be male. We all create these fronts, these false selves that we have, and we want to try to project our best foot forward to everybody. So.
Right.
If your relationships in your life are overly social media dependent, and you're always putting your best foot forward and never letting people see who you really are with all of our faults and brokenness and everything like that, it creates weirdness.
I agree with that.
I definitely agree with that. And to take that a step further, a lot of the high school students and even college students now that have grown up online, basically, they have a tough time taking visual, nonverbal cues from people. When they're in a face-to-face conversation with someone, they have a tough time picking up on the non-visual stuff just because sure. they haven't experienced it as much. I read an article on that not too long ago, and I mean, it's crazy that people can't tell when. I mean, not necessarily sarcasm, but like different facial expressions, you can tell if someone really means mm-hmm. what they're saying.
Right. If you lead with the actual face-to-face communication and supplement it with the computer stuff and the social networking and the Twitters and Facebooks and whatever else, maybe those people have a better chance at being effective communicators than those that lead with the online stuff and then later on in life try to supplement it with the face-to-face stuff.
Did I just score a small victory for mankind?
Maybe a small one. I could also counteract that with the fact that people are tweeting up or tweet up. I don't know if you've heard of that or not, but people who have met on Twitter.
You just blew Brian's mind.
Yeah. No place for that.
What the heck is that?
All right.
No, there's people who have found each other on Twitter in the same area, and they set up a time and a place to tweet up, where they actually meet at like a coffee shop or something like that, and they can actually really get to know the person who they've...
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I was totally thinking it was a relational hookup type of thing.
No, that
was
it's happening. Definitely not hooking up.
Got it. Okay.
All right.
Sorry, I have a weird...
They probably have those too, Brian. Just
right.
You look a little deeper.
Oh, man. You talk about blow my mind. You will blow my mind if you do that.
Look.
Did you guys see the movie... Wally, you have kids.
Absolutely.
So
no, I own it. No,
we've
on
had
Blu-ray.
This conversation. I'm out of touch in that regard.
Yeah, man. You have to watch that before next time because it has so
all
much
right.
to do with what we're talking about.
Okay.
With the people in their chairs and they're not communicating with each other. They're just looking at the
yeah.
screen.
I think one of my favorite scenes in that movie that kind of describes where society could be headed, and it's scary, is there were two people on this spaceship or whatever. But they were, and here I am talking with my hands. You can't see that, but it's funny. They're sitting in these.
It was hilarious.
Yeah, I'm Italian. Sorry.
Right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
They're sitting in these chairs, and they're riding basically right next to each other. But they have these screens in front of their faces. They're talking to each other on the screens, right next to each other. All they had to do was shut the screen off and turn and look. It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, it's awesome.
All right.
It's the coolest idea of when this all actually plays itself out, what we end up being like.
I'll check it out. It seems to
big
apply.
Flat blobs with barely any bones left. And
so within that context of our conversation, I'm representing all that is good and excellent in this world, and
right.
you guys are
right.
trying to tear it down.
Yeah, I think technology is a great tool, but if you never shut it off and never get away from it, you're going to set yourself up for some kind of failure.
Yeah, so you were a nerd forever, and you got a degree in ministry, and mm-hmm. somehow or other, you, like many of us, you found yourself leaning more on the tech than the degree?
Yeah, I mean, I was doing a lot of technology when I was interning, still in school. From there, I also play guitar and lead worship, and our worship pastor at the time started using me on stage in our sanctuary to help lead worship. And from there, I started working on the stage sets and stuff like that. And I think it was basically so I could stay here.
Sure.
It became a part-time job for me. I drove a school bus at the same time for a while to supplement my income. But I basically took that on so that I could stay here. I didn't want to work anywhere else. From there, that started to become full-time. And after about a year of working full-time, they brought me on as a full-time employee.
Right.
Which was kind of interesting. I was working part-time but full-time hours, and they decided that wasn't a good deal for either of us because, I mean, I wasn't getting benefits, but I was getting full-time hours and then switched it over. And when I was hired full-time, I was hired in the production tech environment.
Right.
And that's when I started doing the kind of stuff that I'm doing now. My former boss taught me a few things that I hadn't learned yet, but we're using all kinds of technology here, and most of it I had no formal training in. I just kind of figured it out on my own. I mean, with a technical mind, it's kind of comes easy to me. If I were to throw Brian into that situation, he'd probably go home and cry.
Right.
I would curl up in the fetal position very quickly.
Nice.
But start sucking my thumb.
Yeah, we're all built differently. So, I mean, my mind was able to wrap around that stuff pretty easily. Now, when I took that full-time position, it was never my intention to be in this position long-term. I mean, right now, technically, I've been full-time for 3 years. I thought by around this time I'd be moving on to something different, either in the worship world or
right.
more of a pastoring kind of role, something like that.
Right.
And I'm actually starting to do some research now into what it looks like to lead an online campus kind of thing. I've seen a few other churches are doing that. And so I'm trying to develop what that could look like for our church. Because, I mean, we could definitely do it, but would it be Northway? I mean, right. we can't just throw it out there and it not look like Northway, it not be what our community
right.
is.
You still with us, Brian? You all right with that? Did your heart stop there?
I'm okay. I'm tracking.
All right.
Okay.
Well,
awesome.
an online campus, who is your target audience?
Well, target audience is actually a larger target audience than a lot of like venues. Like we have the Worship Cafe, which meets in a separate venue on our Wexford campus. Their target audience is kind of younger families,
right.
maybe some students, people who want a more intimate atmosphere, maybe a simpler worship style.
Sure.
And it's not a narrow target audience, but it's a more narrow than in our sanctuary on the Wexford campus, where our target audience is huge for there.
Right.
An online campus, the target audience ranges anywhere from shut-ins that can't get out of their houses to students that are off away at college that still want to stay connected to our church, but they're right. halfway across the nation, to just everyday business people who can't really make it to church, but they can jump online,
like right.
people who work Saturdays and Sundays or whatever else.
Right.
So, I mean, the target audience could be huge. It could be narrowed down some. I haven't worked through all that yet, but I think it'd be beneficial and be a great way to kind of put our mission out there even stronger to free people to follow Jesus. People like shut-ins or business people who work on the weekends, it's really difficult for them to be free to follow Jesus in a corporate setting.
Right. Now, I know our church and a lot of churches now they're recording and rebroadcasting the sermon for the week using podcasts or live streaming or whatever. Are people finding those resources? Do you know? I mean, are they using that?
Yeah, I think so. One church in particular that comes to mind is lifechurch.tv. They have a live service that happens and then they record it. And then throughout the week, at specific times during the week, they broadcast that service. And they have people online that are chatting with the people that are coming on and kind of leading discussion around the sermon. And they have the worship on there, and so people are worshiping together. And
that would be kind of cool, actually.
And they actually have a map that shows you where all these people are online from across the world.
You know
it's
what we need?
Cool.
We need, during our Sunday service, some sort of like chat room that we can get on our phones and you're right and chat with each other about God and stuff.
Just gonna let you have your moment. I'm letting you have today's show.
You laugh, but I tell you what, that would be so awesome. I would totally do that. I would do that in a heartbeat.
Here's this crazy idea that I had that I actually talked to one of our pastors about, and he was intrigued, and I'm not saying that we're going to go this direction. It's just an idea in my head right now. But right now we have another venue that's being used for basically adult education. I would love to tech out that venue, make it basically a tech venue that we use on Saturday nights to record our sermon. Like right now we record our sermon for our other campuses and venues in HD, and then it's played, not live, but it's played back in the other venues, life-size, so it looks like the pastor's walking around the stage.
Right.
We record that in a smaller venue than our sanctuary because, I mean, the Saturday night crowd is smaller than the Sunday mornings, and I think they could all fit in that venue. It would feel more intimate there, but we could really tech out the room where we have that chat room kind of thing.
Right.
Maybe some kind of iPhone app where all the people with iPhones can jump on it and be communicating with each other during the sermon. I mean, it might be a little distracting for the pastor, but I'm sure they would get used to it.
You'd have to turn your alerts off.
Yeah.
<Ba-da-boop>. Every 5 seconds. Dude, that'd be so great, dude. That'd be awesome, dude.
Why can't you just talk to each other, though? That's what I don't understand.
Because you're in church. You can't.
Yeah. There's a church in Michigan that does something like this, where they have a Twitter service.
Oh.
Where it's a live service. Everyone is in the sanctuary together, worshiping together, stuff like that. But they have a Twitter feed that goes up on one of the screens where people are, tweeting about their experience in worship at that moment. At first, they'd get some funny stuff look at the clothes he's wearing. That's kind of funny.
Right.
But eventually, that stuff kind of went out. And it's moderated, too. So they're not going to get anything real off the wall that they don't want to have up there.
But I've shared this before, but one of the most powerful things I've ever experienced in the last 2 years in church was when they opened up during worship, text what you're struggling with right now. And then they rebroadcast those struggles back out to the congregation in sort of real time. And it was interesting to see. There's a use of technology, a use of your phone, a use of texting.
Brian, were you here for that service?
I do remember it, yes.
Now you as a non-technology person, what was that experience like for you?
I thought it was weird.
Okay, you thought it was weird.
But I know other people connected with it.
You weren't moved by it or anything?
I don't know.
Dude, it killed me, man.
Really?
It killed me. I was singing that week. And as I am, and they rebroadcast the words on the back wall for those that are singing on the stage.
And I was playing guitar in another venue.
Yeah, dude.
Same kind
and
of thing.
I'm singing and all I see on the back wall, they take the words away, and then they start broadcasting the text messages. And dude, it was I couldn't say anymore. I was I was getting choked up.
Yeah, I'm a crier. I couldn't stop.
Me too, dude.
Oh, someone rescue me from the studio.
Me too.
Mercy.
You see, if you were a better communicator, maybe you open yourself up to some social networking. No, but dude, it was so powerful. What a great use of technology, because. And again, I'm talking about things that if you've listened to the show over the last several months, you might have heard already. But, people, guys in particular, we don't open up. We don't want to share what's up. We don't want to talk about we're struggling with alcohol or whatever. We don't want to talk about that. We come to church and we put a smile on and we pretend that we didn't have a fight with our wife or with our kids or whatever 3 minutes before we got out of the car. And people around us don't know what we're dealing with and what we're struggling with. And it was an opportunity to really to let people know that, hey, the people around us, we're going through the stuff that the whole world is going through. Christians are not immune to the struggles of the world. It was crazy. It was really powerful. Technology,
yeah.
Dude.
And it was even powerful for the non-technology type people.
Right.
I mean, there are people that came up to me that don't even know what a text message is, and they were so moved by what happened in that service that they wanted to see it happen again, kind of thing.
So if you provide a venue or an opportunity in the service that people can anonymously share and talk to one another, there's some benefit to that, I think.
I can line up with what you guys are saying about how if technology was utilized that way within a worship service and it helped the audience to connect. I don't think the audience is the right word for it, but the people who are experiencing worship and participating. If it increases participation in the service or in worship, and there's many different ways that we worship, so it's not just one way, one size fits all. I mean, it's different ways people connect. I'm all for that, and there's still a community element happening. My concern, if you really play out, to push back on you guys, I don't know if you're done with your coolness.
No, that's fine.
But is the community aspect of everything, where if churches and pastors start saying, I can just beam myself to this group of people, not have to really interact with them and the people who receive the beamed message say, oh, I'm just going to input all this data that this pastor is giving me about spirituality into myself, and it becomes removed from community. That's a difficult thing for me if that's really played out. But on the other hand, the way you described it, Tony, that was probably one of the first ways I could see it, where I have a grandma who never, she doesn't go leave to go to church anymore. She's just,
right.
Her church is whatever comes on the Christian TV station. And so I could see it being of value to a certain group of people. I don't know if it's for everybody, though. I mean, what do you think?
I don't think it's for everybody. I mean, there are a lot of people that it would not catch on with. But I think there's even more people that it would catch on with. And as far as using technology within a service, I think that, like, if we were to do it as another venue, the people that are attracted to that kind of service are going to be attracted to that venue. Whereas we could have another service going on in a different venue where the people who are, for lack of a better word, disgusted with the use of technology, they can go to another venue and maybe it'd be a more traditional venue or something like that. I'm not saying that church has to be all technology. That's the great thing about the way we have it set up here. We have two different venues, two different experiences. Some people like the way that our worship cafe is run. Some people don't, and those ones go to the sanctuary.
Yeah,
it's a good point.
You know, and it's an opportunity to reach the people that can't get out, but also the people that are, as you kind of describe, as some socially backward in such a way where they're heads down, like you said, and they're in their phone and whatever. And something about interacting with that technology, dude, like, releases endorphins in their brain. You know, they love it. They're into that. Well, as Christians, I don't think it's such a bad idea to tap into that and to say, you know, okay, well, this is a stimulant to a population of people that we have otherwise been unable to reach. How can we get to these people?
Right. And as far as like a pastor beaming to another place and just preaching and then the people in that place just taking it all in, that's what the multi-site model is basically. But it's not just a pastor preaching and then disappearing. There's community happening there because we have like campus pastors at each of the campuses that are leading that community. And even the teaching pastors will go to those other campuses from time to time. So it's not like it's just a video. They do get to meet the pastors as well.
Okay, so there's going to be pastors facilitating all of this online.
Yeah.
No, I want to bump the conversation then to what you and I had talked about right before the show then, is if this ultimately plays out, what are some tools that are out there right now that are pretty cool that could be used?
I mean, right now you see a lot of multi-site churches that are doing the video thing. Like our Oakland campus, we have a video wall. The pastor shows up on this wall, and it looks like he's walking around on the stage. Now, my emphasis there is looks like he's walking around on the stage. I was introduced to an article yesterday about, it's not really new technology. It's technology that's been around for a while, but it's now becoming cheaper, and I went to Tony Morgan Live. It's Tony Morgan's blog. You should check it out. But he had a little blog article about being able to do a holograph pastor at a church. Now, you're probably thinking Star Trek, stuff like that. You got the holodeck and do all kinds of stuff. It was really cool. I watched a video from Cisco where they had the CEO for Cisco in India, and he was talking with someone, a holograph of someone that was in California at that point, live, real time, and it looked like he was on the stage, like seriously there. It looked like you could reach out and touch him kind of thing. And with the technology getting cheaper and starting to become in the reach of churches and the church budget. Now, I mean, it's got to be a large church kind of thing because it's still going to cost money. Just like a multi-site church costs money to do the video projections and stuff like this. Tony Morgan on his blog said that he sees this being feasible in the next 12 months. You'll start to see these holograph campuses. Whereas we have video campuses now, you'll start to see holograph campuses where you have a pastor actually walking around on the stage as a holograph. And that's pretty crazy to me. I mean, I sent a message to one of the companies that's working on this just to get more information on like how it works, because I don't understand how a holograph works. I mean, See the little rock they have at the Science Center that you can put your hand through because it's a holograph. But a life-size holograph walking around on a stage?
That's what gets me.
That blows my mind.
The movement of it all, because you have to have a ton of cameras, right, that's picking up.
Originally, that's what I thought, but the more I read, this company that that Tony Morgan went to, and he actually stood on a stage next to a holograph and experienced the whole thing, they're saying that you can do it without all kinds of fancy camera equipment and stuff like that. So that's why I was intrigued. So I sent them a message just to find out more information. We'll see what they say when they get back to me. But
crazy,
I could see us doing that in the future. And it allows, the way they have it set up, it actually allows for a one church atmosphere to be more feasible. Like right now, it'd be difficult for us to do live video between our Wexford campus and our Oakland campus, just because of the technology that we have. I mean, we could do it if we were to get a fiber channel between here and there in HD, but the way they're doing I don't know how they're doing it really, but
yeah,
but they can actually have a conversation on a stage between two different places. So we could have, let's say, the Oakland pastor be a holograph at Wexford and be able to maybe even do worship, like all as one church, but in different locations all at the same time with the same worship leader instead of having separate worship for right. like a weekend or something like that. I mean, that could be a really cool experience.
Or here's my fear. Do you guys remember when like CNN did this during the coverage of the election? It was like kind of a big tech thing, because all of the news outlets, they want to one-up the other guy,
right?
You know, and so they're all doing some crazy thing with big screens and all this stuff. Well, CNN breaks out this hologram of a reporter that was in Washington or whatever, and she was interacting with like Wolf Blitzer or something, and he's standing looking at her as if she's standing right there. And my initial thought when I saw that was, that's completely unnecessary. That was my initial thought. Like, it was like, what are you doing this? It's gimmicky. And that's my fear.
That's what people said about the video for the video venues and video campuses. That's what people said about image magnification. Like, when megachurches started doing IMAG on their side screens, like an image magnified of the pastor walking around.
Right.
The initial reaction was, this is ridiculous. We don't need this. I mean, this is overkill kind of thing. After a few months, they're like, I don't know if what we were doing without it.
Good freaking grief.
All right. Wow.
You just added 5 minutes to the post-production time.
Oh, I held it in the whole time. I'm sorry, Tony.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing about newer technologies. Might not be a new technology, but when it's introduced into a new venue or a new atmosphere, there's going to be some pushback at first.
Right.
We had the same kind of thing here at our church when we started doing IMAG on the side screens. There were a lot of people that did not like it, especially during worship. Like, I feel like I'm worshiping the worship leader instead of worshiping God, because we used to use like looping video and stuff like that. That lasted a week or two, no more pushback after that, because they started being able to be led more by that worship leader. They're able to connect more. This isn't a change in what we do. It's just a change in the tools we use.
Right.
So, I mean, it's the next step of technology.
I'm with you. If it could be done in a way where I can get past the idea that I'm not looking at a real person, then I'm okay. Once I can get past that. Like, if they look like Princess Leia on the R2-D2 projecting Princess Leia to, you know, whatever.
Right.
I mean, where it looks like, you know, it's flickery and see-through.
I, from what I've seen online, it doesn't.
All right. I mean, I might have to check this out, dude.
And the thing is, we said the same thing about our video venues and video campuses.
Right.
It's like, I don't want to go to a church where I'm just going to watch TV kind of thing.
I'm with you.
But the way we set it up, it looks like the pastor walking around stage. And you don't forget that it's video, but you don't notice it anymore.
Brian?
What do you have to say, Brian? I can see you've got something.
I'm keeping an open mind about it. I'm trying to hear what you're saying. I think the technology is cool. I mean, as we grew up as kids in an era where we thought these things were being incorporated into the movies, we thought how cool it would be if this would happen someday. And so I'm keeping an open mind about it from that perspective. And the points I brought up earlier are still there, which you've heard the whole feedback with the video thing, like you were saying. It's, I have at a heart level, have a problem with a pastor putting a holograph of themselves someplace and spiritually shepherding other people without any personal contact.
Right, but what's the difference between that and the video?
Well, I didn't say I was happy necessarily that we do it the way we do it.
Okay.
Anyways, but no, my opinion with that doesn't matter. I don't think it's a negative. I think it's a good tool use of technology. That's what I'm saying. I'm not shooting you down saying it's like, you know, I understand your pushback, but you know, it's, I've seen it be used effectively to reach people.
Right.
And so I can't argue with that. And that's what the pushback that any of our pastors would give me, that it's reaching people and it's working.
Yeah. And I think the key here is that we're not just showing a video and then leaving the congregation hanging. There is a campus pastor that's devoted to that community, shepherding them, there for them on a daily basis. There is community being built there. There are kids ministry people that are leading the kids at these campuses. I mean, it's not just a come show up, watch a video, go home kind of thing. There is community happening, and there is leadership that is physically there. It's not all just video. And when it comes to the holograph thing, I think what it comes down to is cost-benefit. If it costs about the same as doing HD video, well then, to me, it's a no-brainer. Make it look better? Sure, we'll do it. If it costs so much more than doing the video stuff that we're doing when it comes down to projection and the backbone to make it happen, well then, yeah, that's when you start debating whether or not it's worth doing. I mean, we're doing great with the video venues as they are. It's just a matter of buying new equipment for each new campus. And it would be the same kind of thing with the holograph thing. I'm not saying that it's the way to go, but it's something worth looking into.
Yeah, it's a cool idea.
All right. Well, I'm glad that, Brian, you're kind of crazy with your no technology, and Tony's kind of crazy with his excessive technology. As it turns out, I'm the only normal person here.
Right. You were neutral on the whole issue, dude. And plus, you have the... Tony, you've had like a little man crush on Tony since he came here, since you started right. talking about doing this a couple weeks ago. So you're not giving him the hard time like you give me usually.
Oh. But. Well, I'll say this. I pulled this in a blog by a guy in the name of Andy Knight, just to get your I want to get, Brian, your thought on this. But he said, in the very beginning, God created people with the capacity to create. Understand, well, with the capacity to create, understand, and communicate with language and writing. That was the highest form of technology in that day. For many, many years, God has used technology to pass along stories and songs about himself from generation to generation to generation. So, according to him, he's basically saying that all through time, we have found a way to use the latest and greatest technology of the day to spread the word. So, shouldn't we do that? Shouldn't we do that now?
Yeah, I agree that we can. I don't have an ethical problem with utilizing technology to supplement the experience. But I do have a major problem if technology takes it to the point where it continues to be all about the individual. If community, and Tony pushed back hard on this and gave good reasons for why community has not been taken out of our current model of ministry. But if community gets removed from the mix, then I think you're almost missing the point of what God has for us in store for the richness of life to be in community with one another through the Holy Spirit's bond of the body of Christ.
Yeah, so. And if community were ever to be taken out of the mix, that's where I would draw the line and leave. I mean, I'd rather go drive a school bus again than be a part of something where community is not in the mix.
I see that. Well, as leaders, we also have to be careful that we don't introduce tools to the people of the church that would cause them to disengage from community.
Right. And, I mean, when you look at the huge growth times of the church a lot of times it revolved around technology. And you look at when the printing press came around, there's a lot of pushback from the church because people were going to start reading on their own, and they were afraid people weren't going to be coming to the churches, and all these priests and bishops would be out of a job kind of thing because the people would have no one to read the Bible to them. Well, look at what happened. The church boomed because people could now dive into the Word on their own.
Dude, that's a really good point. I have nothing to say to that other than you the man.
Nice. I've got to learn how to do that. Tony, I'll talk to you later.
I'll give you some pointers on that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. My bottom line is, it may be the reason why I wanted to have this conversation. And we actually went in a lot of different directions. I didn't anticipate, which is awesome. But, you know, I've seen this church do stuff with Twitter and Facebook and Ustream and all kinds of things that were never possible before. And it seems like we're reaching people in new ways, and that's cool. I mean, it's not perfect. There's it can be used inappropriately, you know, or ineffectively, but you know, the technology's out there. It's kind of neat seeing the different areas of ministry, you know, all over the world using technology to do stuff. I mean, this podcast, we'd never be able to do this 10 years ago.
And it's helped Steve break out of his little box.
Right.
And we're so happy for you.
I know.
Steve.
Well, dude, I have never been accused of just being a little shut in. I've always kind of wear my heart on my sleeve. Yeah. And Facebook and podcast, just another way I can do that.
Cool.
Yeah, man. And this is actually a timely topic for me because I guess with what I do with mentoring kids, it's very relational. It's face to face. We're trying to get people to spend time with kids, but they're starting to emerge. Mentoring programs are using technology to make it so that to make it easier on the mentors. They don't actually have to go spend time with the kids. They can video conference themselves to where the kids are.
They're always going to be in front of a computer somewhere. And, it's a way to reach these kids. They can't drive necessarily. And it's hard for them to get around, and here's a way to do it, dude.
Yeah, and I still have a heart. I didn't say I totally agree with that, though, philosophy. But
sorry.
I was bringing it up as a point that I struggle with it, but I'm trying to learn to be more open-minded and embrace it.
And you've got the times where you have, like, a snowstorm that causes us to cancel church. That's another way. It's another time where the online church can help.
You guys are just piling on me now.
I know.
Sorry.
You need to listen to this again, Brian. You'll realize how wrong you were again.
All right. Whatever. Are you going to say anything today that's going to be offensive?
No, dude. I think you did it all with your creation versus science.
All right.
Fiasco. All
right. It's on me this week, then.
And next week, it's all about sports, right?
That's right. We're going straight meathead episode next week.
Nice. I'll be in the minority there, probably. I am aware that sports do exist.
Yes. We played many sports growing up. I know you have that in your genes.
Yeah, I watch it on TV, and It looks like fun.
If you ever start talking about Ultimate Frisbee, you got to bring me back in.
Oh, really? I did not know this.
I love Ultimate Frisbee.
All right. I have a cousin who's really into that, too. So, it's fun.
We had a club in high school. It's the largest unofficial club of my high school.
Nice.
We even had T-shirts.
That's awesome. You must be so proud.
Didn't we talk last week?
I guess that's kind of geeky, huh?
Yeah, it is.
No. That's not geeky because we talked, I think, last week about how guys make up random games to entertain themselves.
Absolutely.
What we do.
I mean, you got the movies where they're throwing the card into the hat. I mean, what kind of game is that?
Yeah.
Well, it's just another way that we can flex our muscles.
Steve, please end the show.
Bri, where can we read about your crazy take on creation?
bkmccabe.blogspot.com and all my other fun posts that I put up there. I'm like cranking on that thing right now. I get a few posts per week. So
nice, dude.
Check it out, people. And where can they learn more about this podcast?
They can learn more at journeymanpodcast.com. And Tony, I know you got places.
Yeah, I've got places to go. I actually started blogging again after a 2-month hiatus.
It's like every other blog in the world.
Yeah, you can find my blog at emergingnow.wordpress.com. And if you want to catch my Twitter, it's T T Lamarca. That's T L A M A R C A on Twitter.
Yes, and I'm twitter.com/Steve Brennan. And check us out online. Subscribe, donate, do all that stuff we talk about. And I guess that'll do it. I'll catch you guys next week.
See ya.
Peace.
Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, the one, the only, Montel! M to the tizzle!
You gotta work on that. Don't laugh at me. How you feeling? Have you seen the... It was about 5 minutes ago. And I seen a hottest chick that a youngin' never seen before. I say, yo. I say, girl, I wanna meet ya. Am I in the way to go? I gotta give a game, Papa. Here's what you get.
I know what to say.
That was good, dude. That's good. That was great. That's only a soundbite we needed.
That's it.